Listening to the Aim High Podcast.
Aviation made easy.
With your host, Erica Wiggins.
The Aim High Podcast.
Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @aim_high. And now, the CFI for Aim High, Erica Wiggins.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to our podcast. And today's topic are electronic logbooks, their advantages, and how to use them. And with us today is Terea Rodriguez from Log10 Pro. And I figured she'd be the perfect person to talk to about the ins and outs of using an electronic logbook. And when I went to their website, I really had a good laugh because one of their logos is the 1985 called, and they want their paper logbook back. Oh. So welcome, Terea.
Thank you. I'm really, really happy to be here.
So tell us, we'll just start right out with, what is an electronic logbook for anyone who hasn't had a chance to become familiar with the concept?
Sure. An electronic logbook really is a digital means of storing all the information that we've been putting in the paper ledger books for a long time. But it goes above and beyond that, usually. Not only can you keep track of the information that you would traditionally keep track of, but then you can start to have that information be more powerful and more useful to you. So, for example, top example that comes to mind right away is getting ready for a check ride and having to fill in what we used to call the 8710 form, but is now part of the IACRA process, and having to add up all of your times to be able to fill in that form. I remember doing this by hand on paper. It took me hours.
Oh, yeah.
And I was already stressed out enough for the check ride itself, not to mention having to make sure that the math was correct and that I was doing it all correct just to put it into this form. But electronic logbooks in general allow you to do those things in a matter of minutes or seconds rather than hours of brutal labor. So that's part of the reason why electronic logbooks are great. But that's the concept of it. And a lot of times people can use an Excel spreadsheet or they can use this particular program. So it's multiple different types of electronic logbooks. It's not just a specific program, but usually people who purchase a specific program that's designed for pilot logging, that usually is their best bang for the buck. I've seen a lot of people that get a little bit frustrated when they're trying to use Excel, but
well, I get frustrated just doing the simplest thing in Excel, so I would totally get that. And, you know, you mentioned about getting ready for a check ride, and what would happen to me as a CFI is I'd have a student come to me who, you know, we've been putting everything in the logbook, and I'm trying to keep up with what his times are and such, and we get a day or so before the check ride and tally everything up, and we are, like, 2/10 off on something like cross-country. Ouch.
Yeah.
You know, that's brutal. So I would imagine that something like an electronic logbook would keep a running total more easily accessible so that you could see those things coming before you've made that last cross-country flight and find yourself having to do a whole cross-country for 2/10.
Absolutely. So I had a customer contact me yesterday who is working on his instrument rating. And he said, you know, I love this idea of the electronic logbook, but I'm having a heck of a time trying to figure out how do I keep track of my cross-country time that's also PIC, and how do I keep track of all my dual receive that has any actual instrument or simulated instrument. And so I was able to give him the answer and show him how easy it is to track those complicated things. And he was elated because he could instantly see it at any time throughout his training, and he knew all the way throughout his training exactly how much more time he needed to get to qualify to be able to take the check ride.
Oh, that is so epic. Now, a pain point for me as a professional pilot, especially when I was doing a lot of contract work, was everybody that was a client of mine, I flew their planes for them, needed to add me to their insurance. And going through page by page to find a Cessna 421 out of it and total it all on, you know, by pencil and paper over on a piece of scrap paper to the side was a real hassle. And I've notice that now there's the capability to actually use like groups and sort by aircraft, which is something I never could do in my paper logbook before.
Right. Yeah, the insurance form is definitely, we think of it as a pain once a year when we have to fill it out. And, you know, it's annoying because not only does it ask you for, you know, Cessna 420 one time total, but the total in the last 90 days, last 6 months, last 12 months. So you have to do that total four times. So, yeah, absolutely. Grouping those times and being able to have those as running totals so that that form takes a couple seconds to just copy down a few numbers is brilliant. That's one of the huge advantages of having an electronic logbook over a paper logbook is you don't have to flip through pages to find things, and you don't have to constantly be using a calculator to add up all your time.
And what amazes me is that I know that back when I was laboring through my paper logbook, there were programs out there like QuickBooks and all these other accounting programs on the market. Why did it take so long for aviation to adopt electronic logbooks?
Well, you know, there's a couple things. Aviation's heavily government regulated, so that seems to be bit like molasses, moving in molasses to get things done in government sometimes. So I think part of it is that, but you know, the data that we were collecting was rather specific, and I think it really took until somebody had gotten fed up. You know, the founder of our company wanted to learn how to fly, and he was also in computer science, and he wanted a logbook for the Macintosh, and there wasn't one. So he built one because it was his pain point. And that's how the company got started. So I think it takes until it's a pain point for somebody, and then they decide to just build one.
It's I'm so thankful that they're out there now. I haven't switched over to one yet. I am ashamed to confess.
What?
But I know, right? I need to.
It's, you can't complain about the tedious, you know, copious amounts of effort that go into filling out your paperwork. You can't complain. You have options.
I have options, so I need to start utilizing those options. I absolutely am excited to start using electronic logbook and just hadn't done it yet.
Well, Erica, let me ask you, why do you think you haven't done it yet? Because transitioning over actually is surprisingly very, very common that people really want to do it, but they haven't. And there's a couple reasons that I've kind of categorized, but I'd like to hear from you first.
Well, I do think that it is the thought of going back through. I've been a pilot for 26 years. So the thought of going back through and entering data, I guess I could just start at some kind of zero point and add it on to my totals and enjoy the categorizing from there. How do you find people handle this transition, especially if they've been a pilot for a really long time?
Yeah, I think what you just described is the number one reason why people don't do it is they get a little bit daunted by the idea of going back through line by line and doing the data entry. You don't have to do it that way. There's a couple different options these days. One option is what we call entering in balance forwards at our company, and really what that means is taking your totals, just like you would for that insurance form or the 8710, taking your totals from the paper logbooks and entering them into a few lines into the electronic logbook. And depending upon which product you end up doing will determine how detailed you need to get those lines, you know, whether or not you break it down by category, class, or by aircraft type. Mm-hmm. So you can do that, and that's perfectly valid, and all of the reporting still works the same, and you get full functionality that way. Some people actually really do enjoy going through that trip in time, you know, and pulling up those memories. Oh, yeah, I totally remember when that happened on my solo cross country. Ooh, that was weird. You know, those kinds of things. You know, and they enjoy doing that, but it does take some time, and it takes a little bit of dedication. One other creative way of doing that is one of my friends decided to help out a local aviation student at one of the colleges and hired her to do the data entry. You know, so the
student
got
like
a little
plan.
Bit of cash. Yeah, got a little bit of cash to help for, you know, fund their flight training. And that, you know, my friend was able to get all of her logbooks transcribed into an electronic logbook. But there's also a couple of pilots, and I can't remember which regional airline that they work for, but they teamed together. They've got a company called Convert My Logbook, and it's convertmylogbook.com, but they have this neat idea. Now, it's not the cheapest idea on the planet, but their idea is that they basically will send you a scanner. You scan your paper logbooks, and you send the scanner back to them. And they take that information and they're pilots, so when they do the data entry, they're doing the pilot validation of that data entry as well. So you can kind of have high satisfaction in the sense that they'll know what it means if you put in, for example, a flight that was 2.0 total and you put in 2.1 actual, that doesn't really work. Mm-hmm. They would be able to make that adjustment on the fly, but it's not cheap. But for some people, it's an option, and they do it that way.
That sounds like a great plan. So next I was wondering about the...
Before you go on, I had a thought. It's kind of surprising, the thing that you said about how people can go back through their logbooks and it brings back all those memories, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And you can look at all the pictures and stuff. That's amazing to me that, you know, you just reading that little journal with the details of your flights can kind of bring up some vivid stuff for you and some of the bigger memories. I actually think that's kind of crazy.
Well, it would be really neat because I know, like, for myself going back a long ways, and I'm sure for you as well, Treya, you know, you have a lot of memories there. I think one thing I would notice going back through my logbook is how much time I forgot to log. And that's, again, back to an advantage of an electronic logbook is probably would do a better job of encouraging me to keep up because it would be right there on the mobile devices I carry all day versus my logbook that's home in my safe.
And it seems like the reason that people don't log stuff into their logbook is simply time, right? Is it just...
Absolutely.
Yeah, I was flying a lot there for a while. I every single day, sometimes on trips. I'd get home, I was glad to be home, wash my clothes, and I'd just forget to log. And I know that if I looked back through to transfer my logbook, I'll see that I have quite a bit more time than is in my logbook because I just got busy.
Right. Right. Yeah. And, you know, it's this is kind of an interesting story. Here's another advantage to electronic logbooks. I had a student that I was sharing with another flight instructor. So he was flying with two flight instructors. And he was really, really close to his private check ride, and his apartment got broken into, and his flight bag got stolen. Well, in his flight bag was his paper logbook, and that's all he had. Mm-hmm. I had converted to electronic at that point, but his other flight instructor had not. And so he needed to recreate all of his flights from his flight instructor's records. I was able to give him a report in 5 minutes. It took the other instructor 3 months to recreate all of the flights that he had with this one particular student. So definitely there's a time component. You know, I've seen people who are professional pilots or flight instructors and, you know, they're logging on paper and they literally have this little, like, handheld notebook that they just fill in the data, and they have stacks of them. It's not an actual logbook. It's just this little piece of scrap paper. And they can get lost, which is another reason for electronic logbooks, because with the prevalence of mobile devices and computers and all this stuff, you can have multiple copies of your data and be rest assured that should you have your house broken into, your car broken into, or your house burned down, that your pilot records won't go away.
And that was actually where my next question was going to go. And you were mentioning about the little notebooks. I used to have everything in my calendars and then forget to go back and note what those times were from the calendars, months later I'd be going back trying to remember, what was the time that I need to go to the plane and look at our record in the plane. It was just ridiculous. And that's why I lost so much. But back up. Let's say somebody has a electronic logbook that they're hosting on their phone. If they lose their phone, do they lose their logbook? Or is it backed up somewhere?
Well, this is going to be dependent upon the particular software that you have and how that software works. So I'll speak to how Log10 works because I know that the best. Log10 is designed such that the data that's on your phone or iPad or on your Mac is a complete 100% copy of all your data. So if you were to back up the phone to iTunes or iCloud, doing a typical just a device backup, that's another copy of your data. In addition, we have methods for you to be able to export that data. So if you wanted to do it and export every month to save it somewhere like on Dropbox or something like that, you can do that. So there are means that you can take to make sure that, you know, you set your phone on the wing and it decides to slide off the wing and crack and, you know, you've broken your phone and you have to replace it, you can still have that data restored pretty easily.
Does it sync automatically to other devices?
Right now, Log10 syncs using Wi-Fi, and we are currently actively developing iCloud sync, and that would be an automatic sync.
Fantastic. That's really good to know, because that would be my fears. I know I would choose to put it on my phone, and I would be inclined to want to have exported copies and maybe paper copies somewhere. I know everybody's a little paranoid about their logbook.
Yeah.
What other features? I was kind of digging through your site, and I saw something about taking pictures and storing them in. What is that?
So if you're so inclined to go beyond the paper ledger, you can definitely take pictures of people that you fly with and, you know, have a picture assigned to a person record, for example. You can take pictures of aircraft, places that you've been, even, you know, that wonderful sunset that you're seeing. You can snap a picture of the sunset and attach it to the flight record so that you can kind of enhance some of the information that you have. One of the things that I had started with my logbook and my instrument students is I would take a picture of them with the hood on. They hated it. Absolutely hated it. And the deal was is that when they pass their instrument check ride, I would take a picture of them with that permagrin that they get after they pass the check ride and replace the photo. And that's what I've been doing, actually, with my instrument students. It's been good.
That's fun.
I love it. And so there's a lot of ways it could become beyond a logbook at that point.
Right.
That's neat. You know, a lot of student pilots listen to this podcast and you know, kind of regressing a little bit here. I think it's important to make sure that student pilots who haven't completely sunk in what that logbook is, just how important that document is and the consequence of not logging their flights.
Yeah, well, as a student pilot, you and I had talked about qualifications for a check ride. I mean, that's extremely important. You have to make sure that you've logged the experience that you need prior to a check ride with an examiner. And that includes not just, you know, every flight, but specific requirements. You know, for the cross countries have to be a particular distance, so you need to be able to prove the distance. Well, instead of, you know, taking out a paper chart and drawing a line and measuring it and trying to figure out how many nautical miles airport A to airport B was, the electronic logbooks are nice, and they will automatically figure that out and tell you whether or not it was greater than 51 nautical miles for cross-country, yes.
Oh, wow.
Fun features like that. And you can flag particular flights, like those qualification flights, for the commercial cross-country or the instrument cross-country. You want to be able to flag those so that they're easy for the examiner to see when they go through. Well, let me back up a second, because maybe some of your students haven't gone through the check ride experience yet. One of the very first things that you will do when you sit down with your examiner is they will make sure that you are qualified to even begin the test.
Yep.
And that means that they examine your logbook. And you could have that process take a while, and they could, you know, flip through everything, and they have to find that exact cross country that you qualified with, and they have to find all of your nighttime and everything else. Or you can flag all that information and have it ready for them to see at a glance, and then it takes 5 seconds. It's your choice. Set yourself up to have an easier check ride by pleasing the examiner of having the qualification take a few minutes rather than half an hour.
And I can imagine you could psych yourself out sitting there with your examiner, you know, as they're kind of figuring all that stuff out. The more time you're just sitting there in silence, you know, I would, you start thinking about different stuff, and I could see that being as a psych out in some ways. So that's
Well, yeah. I mean, nobody likes to be evaluated, number one. And then to be evaluated with somebody who is probably a stranger is even more disconcerting. And then now they're just kind of going through your logbook going, you know, that can be disconcerting for sure. And, you know, why not make it easy for them? The other thing, too, is that that sets a good impression about you as an applicant with them, is that you're organized, you know what you're doing, you've planned ahead. These are all qualities that we're looking for in pilots. So,
fantastic. I know when I was as an instructor, well, not when I was, but when I would send students to check rides, I used to try and do all that using the paper logbook, and it was still, even though I'd prepare them with a sheet that had everything labeled out on it and then stick-it notes and all this stuff so it looked like confetti sticking out of their logbook, it was still tedious. So
absolutely.
Yeah, so the idea of it just being electronically flagged is, it's genius.
Yes.
So.
Yes, and, you know, it definitely helps you as a student flight instructor team. It helps you guys find those things where you're 0.2 short on cross-country, for example. You can find that ahead of time. Rather than, you know, you might, the student might have missed it, you might have missed it by going through the paper method, and then it's the examiner that catches it.
Yeah, and I've seen that happen.
It's the worst situation.
It wasn't my student, but yeah, I've seen it happen, and it was really, that's a sad student who has to come home from a check ride because they weren't, they had missed a number and hadn't carried something right.
Yeah.
So it sounds to me like, you know, something that we've seen, you know, something that Aim High is trying to help with, and it sounds like LogTemp Pro, but if you make things easier for student pilots and for people in the world of flying, you know, there's so many that start and then never finish their pilot's license. And so, you know, avoiding the amount of work that it takes to keep up with your paper logbook and to do that digitally, it seems like it's even, you know, more of a help to help people finally, you know, get through, and it's just removing barriers from people getting their license, I think.
Yeah, you know, I mean, anything that we can do to make it easier for people to complete, the better, you know?
And as an instructor, and you were mentioning having to note all of the things that you have done with your student and making sure that you're hitting every maneuver, and I would find myself writing in a paper logbook, and my tiniest penmanship, I should have been a doctor, not a pilot. So it was bad enough already. Now I'm trying to squish it into a tiny little row, and then usually I end up spilling over rows, and then things get all out of alignment. So I'm thinking that there's probably, using an electronic method, you get a lot more note-taking capability and room to really express what it is that you accomplished on each flight.
Yeah, well, first of all, Helvetica is beautiful for reading, which is really, really nice. You're no longer trying to figure out, is he trying to say slow flight or stall recovery? Not sure. And so that's definitely helpful, but you have much more space. And so depending upon the presentation, if it's a report or just the actual flight data entry itself, you will see some of it, and then you can click to see the rest of it, so you can see the whole thing. And then one thing that I didn't mention is that most electronic logbooks allow you to print out an exact duplicate of the paper ledger. So, for example, Log10 has, we have the ASA format and the Jeppesen formats for those popular logbooks, and you can print it out and have it bound just like a paper ledger. Mm-hmm. And the columns are identical, and you still have to sign the bottom of every page and all that stuff. So if you really do need to present it in that way, you can.
Now, that does bring up something. Signatures. Always signing my students' logbooks. Now what would I do if my student came up to me with an electronic logbook?
Well, not all electronic logbooks are the same. But LogTemp Pro, you can actually add a signature to the record, to the flight record, just like you would today. You'd sign the, you know, in my chronic script in that remarks section, you would put in your signature and your CFI number and the expiration date. You do the same thing on the iPad or the iPhone. You would store your own CFI number and expiration date, and then you would attach that to your person records. So let me kind of back up, because it kind of depends on the perspective. So the student would have in their logbook many different records for people that they've flown with, and you as the CFI, Erica, would be one of those records. Mm-hmm. And then when you're done logging the flight with the student and you've validated that they did all the data entry correctly and that you've put in everything that you did and the remarks and all that stuff, then there's a tap to sign flight, and you sign it. And the first time you do it, you would set up your CFI cert and the expiration date. And then on subsequent times, all you have to do is sign. But you get presented with a little signing pad, and you just sign it with your finger or stylus, however you want to do it, and you attach a signature to each record just like you would in a paper ledger. And then you can also give endorsements. So when you have to give the solo cross-country endorsement, there's what's called a certificate record where you put in the endorsement, and it's the exact same thing. Mm-hmm. You get to sign the endorsement, and it captures that. And so anytime it prints out, those signatures are printed out exactly how you would expect.
Fantastic. Are all the endorsements, are they all pre-printed in there? They're pre-saved, the text for them?
Right now, they're not. And, you know, our logbook is designed for pilots worldwide, so we try and not lock it into specific country regulations.
Mm-hmm.
So the workaround that we've been suggesting, and it works okay, but we're going to look at improving it, is having the PDF on the person's device, so on your student's device probably, or on your device if you're working with your logbook, have 6165 ECHO as a PDF, mm-hmm. and then cut and paste that terminology.
Perfect.
And use it that way.
Okay. Yeah. And, you know, talking about pilots worldwide and, you know, professional pilots, we've talked a bunch about student pilots, but I wouldn't, you know, a few of our listeners are professional pilots. Are there reasons why electronic logbooks are a better choice for them as well?
Absolutely. And come January 4th, it's going to be even more critical. January 4th is when our new FAR 117 goes into play with new duty and rest requirements.
Mm-hmm.
There's other capabilities with electronic logbooks. You can keep track of all of your currencies at a glance. So, you know, your day currency, your night currency, your instrument currency. And then a lot of companies that professional pilots work for have duty limits and flight limitations on the amount of flying time and duty time that they're doing. And you need to keep track of those. You know, you have to be able to tell when you started duty and when you ended duty, and is that within the parameters? And there's always these questions, and they're always happening. And so having that as a running total so that you can see at a glance, we just had a customer contact us about year duty for British Airways, and they can't fly more than 900 hours in a year in 365 days rolling, and that's their company limit. And he contacted us and said, is this graph correct? Am I going to go over my 900? And we took a look at it, and we've got it in graphical format, and we have it in just, you know, the number, and it turns bright red when you cross that. And he had loaded his schedule for December. And I said, absolutely. It looks like the limit group is set up correctly, and it looks like with all these flights, you're going to go over 900 a year. So I'd be calling dispatch, and he did. So I think he got a few extra days off this December.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good save.
Merry Christmas to him.
Yes.
Yeah, no kidding.
So that does bring up another thing. A lot of times I would have to go back and look at my last biannual sign-offs and stuff like that. And I really wished that for that, or when I'm looking through my student's logbook at their solo endorsements, that there'd be some kind of reminder or pop-up or something going, hey, this is coming due. Are there any reminders available in electronic logbooks that would just be like a pop-up on your phone, just as if you set a schedule?
There are. And again, each of the different products work a little bit differently, but you know, the way that Log 10 works, if you've got a certificate record that's expiring, and so that's where we keep all the endorsements, the medical certificates, the BFRs, the IPCs, all of those things go in there. if anything's expiring, we'll let you know in advance so that you can be proactive on that. And, you know, for flight instructors, one of the things that I really like to use is, as you know, we have to keep track of all the endorsements that we give. So in my logbook, in my certificate section, not only are there all the endorsements that I've received and all my BFRs over the years and all those things, but I have all of my students' endorsements that I've given, and there's expiration dates associated with those. And so I know when 2 years has passed and I haven't seen a particular client, like, oh, this person is due for a BFR. I think I'll call them.
The big smile on Erica's face tells me this is a really good thing.
Yeah, so it helps kind of keep some of that repeat recurrent business going, as well as you know that, you know, maybe one of your students is on a 90-day solo endorsement and it's coming shy and you know that they've got a flight scheduled, but it's going to expire beforehand. You can get in there and do the recurring endorsement or the renewed endorsement, give them their additional endorsement so that they'll be legal when they take off. And you can do that without them having to get to the airport, do the pre-flight, look at their logbook, and then call you. And you're not even in the same city, you know, which happens with pilots.
Oh, sure.
So, yeah.
No, that's fantastic. And flight instructors are notorious for not ever thinking with a marketing mind. So the idea that you get these little reminders that, you know, call that biannual flight review client and, you know, wake them up and remind them is
exactly
that's great, because I mean that's just a help to the instructor.
You know, even though IPCs don't expire, when I put the record in my logbooks for the IPCs that I have given, I put an expiration date in there anyway so that I get reminded, oh, it's been about 6 months since I've flown some instrument flights with person X or person Y, which helps me keep track of how often I'm seeing people. Because I don't know about you, but when I do a BFR, I like to at least have seen them flying more than just that one time recently.
It would be nice to, yeah.
Yeah. It's very disconcerting as a flight instructor to not see somebody for 2 years and only have a single flight to determine whether or not we think that they're still up to standards.
Absolutely. And fortunately, in the market I was in, I was kind of around my clients all the time, so I was pretty aware of their comings and goings. But and I was never afraid to say, you know, I think we ought to just have one more. And I know that's not popular, but, you know, I try to make it pleasant enough where they don't begrudge it too badly, but, you know, take an extra flight with them. But, yeah.
Yeah.
Totally agree. So, India, I'd like to give you a chance to tell our listeners a little bit about you've mentioned Log 10 Pro a bunch. Obviously, that's who you're from.
Right.
You know, we've been talking about electronic logbooks in general here, but just, you know, go ahead and take a couple minutes and let our listeners know what it is that you offer. And because you've been kind enough to come on here and give us your time, we'd like to give you a little bit of time.
Sure. So Log 10 Pro is a dedicated pilot logbook software. We offer it for the Mac, and we offer it for any iOS device. So whether that's your iPod Touch, your iPhone, or your iPad, we offer it for any one of those iOS devices. And we sell it through the Apple Store, so you can purchase it just by going to the App Store, search for Log 10, and you'll find it. And, you know, we've been, like I said, the company was founded when Noah started to learn how to fly, and there wasn't a logbook for the Mac, and he wanted one, so he built one. And we were the first one to come out on the iPhone and the iPad when those were released. You know, and I think one of the unique advantages is just being able to have your entire logbook, not all logbooks function this way, but you have your entire logbook on your device, not just those days' flights or not just the most recent flights. You have the entire logbook. So, you know, you could be flying with anybody and somebody says, oh, hey, I heard that you fly tailwheel. How much tailwheel time do you have? You don't have to guess. You can actually look that up and give them an accurate number. So it's really nice to have your data at your fingertips.
Fantastic. And, now, is this specifically for Mac and Apple products?
It is. We don't offer a PC software, and we don't offer Android software. And, you know, we're a real small company. We've got only a handful of employees, and we decided that we wanted to build an extremely quality product that works really well for any kind of pilot you want to be. Whether you're starting out as a student pilot, Log10 can work with you while you work on your ratings, and then you can still use Log10 when you decide to become a professional pilot, or you decide to go buy an airplane and just fly around because you love flying so much. Whatever you decide to do, whatever kind of aviation you decide to do. Helicopter pilots, I'm not leaving you guys out. We can totally work with helicopter flying. Whatever you decide to do, Log10 really is that flexible to be able to morph with you as you change your relationship to aviation.
And speaking of relationships to aviation, Aim High, the company that sponsors our podcast, and Log10 Pro do have a partnership. So there are people who enroll in our ground schools have the opportunity to have a discount on your product. So I wanted to throw that out there to our potential students that this is a real benefit of doing ground school with Aim High.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you again for your time. It's been a real pleasure talking to you today. And we hope to have you back on again sometime just to kind of give people a brush up on maybe some creative ways to use their logbook. Because when we started going down that path, I could think where, you know, logbooks are more than logbooks now. They're more than time. They're actually becoming almost a form of journal. And I think that could be a fun thing to explore further. So thanks again, Treya.
Absolutely. The pleasure's been mine, and I really appreciate the opportunity, and look forward to talking to you guys again.
Excellent. You take care.
All right, Torreya Rodriguez.
Great guest.
She was great.
Yes, and I learned a lot about it, and I guess I need to come out of the dark ages, or at least out of the 1980s.
Are you convinced?
I'm convinced. I'm going to drag the logbooks out and get them moved to electronic form.
Yeah, but while you're going through them, what you ought to do is if you have any vivid memories, old war stories of former flights and all that, maybe they should be covered.
There's some of them I need to not.
That's fine.
I need to not say. Did I mention I'm writing the whole chapter on scud running for our curriculum this week?
Are you really?
Yeah. There's. Anyways, let's move on.
So So that'll be a thing. But maybe those are some blog posts and future podcasts as you go through your past logbooks.
Yeah, because I've had some really fun travel. I've been so fortunate to fly with some super fun clients. And they've led to everything from, you know, flying in windy Texas to backstage passes to concerts in St. Louis. So
it sounds like you've been on a lot of fun journeys. Maybe we'll have to cover a few of those.
Yes.
If you want to get involved and find out more about Log10 Pro, a great way, like she said, is just look up on the App Store, look up Log10. If you take your student pilot's course through an Aim High related ground school, you will get that for cheaper. But if you wanted to follow more on them, their company is called Coradine, and so Coradine. And so you can find them on Twitter at Coradine, or you can go to Coradine.com.
Fantastic. So. And I think, you know, Treya is a great resource. So Twitter might be a way to reach out to her if you have some questions about the ins and outs of logging. This gal knows her stuff.
There's a lot of customer support for people who are on Log10.
Yeah.
It looks like they're pretty active with their Twitter and helping people.
Fantastic.
So, all right, that is it for us. It is Christmas this week. Happy holidays to anyone that listens to our show.
Yeah, it's coming right up, and I need to shop.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't have a shopping gene. I missed that. I have a flying gene, not a shopping gene. Okay, better get on it.
Gift cards. Just gift card people.
Oh, that's
people.
So impersonal. I can't do it.
It doesn't matter. You're so personal in every other way,
you're
Erica.
You're speaking like a typical guy. Of course, I'm being a little guy-like, not having shopped.
Gift cards. Nobody was going to mind. There's no thought put into this. Come on. You're thoughtful and all of it. So you're
Thank
fine.
You.
Don't worry about it. So, all right. Thanks for listening to the show.
All right, everybody. Take care and have a great holiday.
Thank you for listening to the Aim High Podcast. Remember to follow us on Twitter at @aim_high and like us on Facebook. And if you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to subscribe to us on iTunes. We know you have many choices when it comes to your podcast, and we thank you for choosing ours. When you're learning how to fly, aim high. Aviation made easy.